Shall we turn to Numbers chapter 12 for a start? I preached a sermon to you on this, on puzzles. But I'm not going to preach on that to you tonight. But there's a verse here, verse 6. And he said, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently," that's clearly, "and not in dark speeches or riddles. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And a cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was a leper. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech you, lay not the sin upon us, whereon we have done foolishly, and whereon we have sinned. Let there not be as one dead, of whom the heart, flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again." Isn't that astonishing? The sister of Moses excluded from the fellowship of God's people for 7 days. And she was the one that danced so awfully and led them in worship. Imagine that, when they came out of Egypt. About 90 years old, and there she was, known as the prophetess. So you see, it's a good thing to know that the Lord can come along and discipline the best of us. Amen. Or the worst of us, indeed. And it's a good thing to realize that. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth kindness with cheerfulness, showeth mercy with cheerfulness." I think that last one's lovely there. You know, you think of some folks, a pastor can pay them a visit. But you know, there's some folks in the church who are, they're very embodiment of sweetness. I think some of the sisters in this fellowship can show kindness far better than anybody else. Amen? Isn't it true? If you want to cheer somebody up, you've only got to send them round to folks, and they cheer them up. Amen? And last night I thought it was tremendous when this little lady came for, she wanted to talk with me. She was really lonely and upset and so on. Lovely little Christian lady, Catholic Christian, born again. She spent a few days in fasting and prayer the last time we were down there. Really grand little Christian. And she'd have been having a hard time, a bit lonely and so on. And I stood to talk and she says, "Oh, I can't stand to talk." She was in absolute agony with her back. And even as she moved, she grimaced. And as she sat down on the table, and I've got Sister Margaret and Sister Lyle to come and pray with me. Poor. And you know, friends, there's only the merest trace of it instantly after prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great, you know, in the body of Christ, when you get these lovely sisters who we live so closely to God, who we love so much, and come along and just lay hands on people. Isn't it great? And as Sister Joan was talking downstairs, I think it's so important to walk in love. You know, heaven was wrecked by slander. Do you realise that? Christ says it. And we as Christians, it says, have really got to walk close to the Lord and walk in your faith. Amen? So let's do it. Now, let's come to this word then, visions. Now, for the sake of those who are listening to the tapes, I'm going to teach you, talk to you as if you're infants. You don't mind, do you? Okay. Right, visions, gifts of revelation. How would you get revelations and visions? And the first thing to realize, you can get it, a revelation from God simply by a voice. I remember when I was a kid, God spoke to me by an audible voice. Wonderful, isn't it? It's a very, very precious thing. So God came along to Samuel and spoke by an audible voice. You can have a voice in your spirit. A lot of you who don't have visions, the Lord talks to you like that, doesn't he? All of a sudden you find something breathed into your spirit, and bang, there it is. Now what I find I get? I get the visions as well. And it's interesting to have the two combined. When you see a vision, and get the divine commentary in your spirit at the same time. Sometimes you get the vision without any commentary. And sometimes you can flounder when that happens. But it's great to have the vision and have the commentary. I remember with our sister Joan, when my little wife had the vision of her in England, and of her being dead, if she had to follow the guidance of the Spirit. And the thing that the Lord said to me, as I was talking to Pauline on the vision, seeing everything she'd seen, and I was telling her what she'd seen in the vision, because it was before me, and as we came to the last part of it, with Brother, by the graveside, with the children round him, all of them crying, the Lord said to me, I've told Pauline that there's a group of children, not how many. Isn't that interesting? So you've got the divine commentary and watching the vision at the same time. It's very, very helpful when you get that. And of course, it's essential in critical cases to have the combination of all these kinds of things. It was really good last night. I had a great meeting with Annie Skillet. And a gentleman corrected me from the congregation. I've got a very loud voice too. But it's remarkable, I didn't feel a bit agitated at all. Or concerned, in fact I felt full of love for the fella. That's nice, isn't it, when somebody rounds on you at the top of the voice, and with a very powerful one at that. And I really felt God could use that chap. I just felt he had done in the past, and I didn't know that. I said, I feel God has used you, maybe used you in the past, and also I'm sure God can use you in the future. But what a wonderful thing that, the way that man served the Lord, remarkable. But he got agitated, as something I said. And it was great. We had such words of knowledge at the end of the meeting. It was really good. I wish I had them all in the meetings like that. I prayed for one fella. Before I started the meeting, the Lord showed me this trouble down his side here. And he had this kidney trouble with the pain in his back there, with the side and back. And then as I was praying for him, the Lord showed me. And here's a wonderful thing, friends. We don't have to judge one another by how verbose we are, or how talkative, or how exuberant. The Lord said to me, and let me see exactly how that man felt towards people. Very quiet man. Not at all outgoing or extrovert. Now, quite clearly God showed me the way he felt, and his emotions went out, and his love went out to people. And how he really had a genuine concern for people. Isn't it wonderful? How quick we are to equate love and growth and spirituality with the ability to talk. We knock our preachers on the head. It was great. And then the Lord showed me a vision of one of his toes on his foot, all black. I says, there's something wrong with your toe. He says, I dropped something on it. He says, it's all black, isn't it? He says, yes. And I could see it clearly. It's really wonderful. And we had such a lot for one little lady. It was really tremendous. It was a great meeting. I was just really grand. Praise the Lord. So visions. So you can have visions. And you can have them in dreams. Did you realise that? How many of you who haven't had a vision have had them in dreams? So don't say you don't have visions. Anyway, Daniel had a lot of visions in the night. So if you've had dreams from God, you have had visions. Amen? You need to remember that. It's just the only difference is it's a vision while you're asleep, instead of having one while you're awake. And I found in my early Christian life, I got being warned of God in a dream. I had a lot of warnings from God. And God showed me problems. I still have the same thing happen. I still have dreams where God warns me of things and problems which are coming up. And it's very, very helpful. So, with Daniel 7, you could really think of Daniel, tremendous visions of having dreams in the night. Then you have pictorial, but there's pictorial visions. A lot of you have these, where you see a picture and describe it. Then there's the other kind, which is so real, you think you're living in them. That's rather interesting. My mum's had one like that. Where you literally cannot tell them any different from life. Now that's quite a vision to have, isn't it? Where you become unconscious of the things around you. And that's what the scripture phrase means, being in a trance, Peter on the top of the housetop. Ecstasis, being carried out in himself. He wasn't conscious. And the scripture says he was in a trance. Ecstasis means carried out in himself. An English word perhaps gives connotations of spirits, which we have nothing whatever to do and condemn. It's wonderful to know that God can make you so oblivious to the surroundings. I had one like that when I was at McCloy. And there I was in the back of the train, and next thing I had a vision of the meeting. And a lady at Leek, she's at Longerton now, in the Leek area, said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I would like to see Bill, here go and hear Bill preach." And the Lord straight away said back to her, "You better put black on if you do." And she got rather concerned about me coming over here, etc. So then I was in the back room of the train at the Upper McCloy at the Harcourt, and all of a sudden, clonk, this terrific vision came, and there was the people sitting in the meeting. I was sitting in the meeting in vision, and looking through the door there where Formila was sitting. No, a little bit further back than from where I was sitting, looking through the door into the meeting. But I wasn't seeing it with my eyes. I wasn't even conscious of Brother Desmond and Sister Lila and the other brother there praying. And there was this girl sitting there in the meeting. It looked exactly like her physically, but there was the most tremendous satanic leer on her face, as if she was a demon looking out through me. Now this girl is the most gentle, kind, loving girl. She's really lovely. When I was turned out of home by Dad, and nose broken and finger broken, that was the home which took me in. And at that time she was a four. I used to catch hold of her arms and legs and saying, "Erin, a Berin, a big fat Erin, we took you over the moon!" I wouldn't like to try it today. A kiddie's about this big. and a strong impression came through to me. "We're going to get you." My, oh my. And when I came out of it and just realised where I was, Brother Desmond and Sister Lyra said, "My, Bill, you know, you do look concerned." But you could imagine that. And it was interesting, Sister Barbara, the same night, had a real impression to pray for my safety, didn't you, Barbara? And the same night, the Lord said to my little wife in England, "I am teaching Bill a lesson, for the lesson tonight." You know, you've got to go where God sends you, not where the devil's going to arrange something for you. Jesus escaped being murdered by moving in the power of the Spirit at the right time. You've got to break routines, not necessarily keep routines. It's true, isn't it? Otherwise you can end up, instead of being delivered by God, if God gives you a warning like that and you disobey it, you'll see me at my funeral.
Seriously.
Living visions. Visions of angels. That's nice, isn't it? Visions of God and of Christ. Now, it's interesting that sometimes you can have a real problem understanding them. Have you ever had any of God's understanding? Now, he says in Numbers that when you see a vision, it can be to you a dark saying. And the Hebrew word can mean an enigma or a puzzle. Have you ever done a jigsaw puzzle? And some of them you look at and think, where does that go? Where does that go? And you try to get them all fixed together. And it's really difficult. And you know, some visions can be difficult. And God, you make them difficult to get us praying for needs. To keep a need before us. To get us concerned. And also to veil things from us that he doesn't want us to know. And that's very, very important at times. And it can really test the character. Because how you look at a vision can show whether basically you are full of love or you've got a critical spirit. The interpretation you can put on a vision, isn't it true, can make you realise what you are like towards people. And if you're dominated by love, you'll always want to put the best construction on something. If you've got a little bit of niddle in you, the other may come out, and then later you realise that God, through giving you the revelation, your reaction to the revelation has shown the depth of your spirituality. You see? Oh my, oh my, I've had some, and they've really shown me up. And as you go on, it's a way that God uses to reveal to us a depth of our love for people, and care for people. Amen? So, it's a good way of growing up spiritually. Now, the problem of receiving gifts, revelations, well, obviously they've got to come into your mind. Hasn't it? Some people think they'll have a blast of light, bang, and angels will blow trumpets, and then you'll see something. Now, I'll tell you this, I find some visions are terribly vague. Really important things sometimes, that's not true, but quite important things can be ever so vague. And sometimes they can come and go in the fraction of a second. And you just realise what has come, but you can only just get it that quick. And you scratch your head about it, and you think, well, what does all this mean? And then you get other things which you can watch, same as we watch visions. Somebody in the League Assembly, and they and me were watching the same vision for the space of 20 minutes. Isn't that interesting? Continuous vision of events like that. And of course, when you look in the Bible, some of the things, same as John, when you have the revelation of John. How long was John having vision? One vision after another vision after another vision after another vision. A colossal import to the church forever. He could have been receiving that for hours. You see the difference? The little, vague flash, and then the thing that goes on and on and on. I've always fascinated when I listened to that tape on Borneo by Tom Allen. If you haven't listened to it, and for goodness sake, get it. It's tremendous. He says these people were actually laid out on the floor and were watching the whole of the events of the crucifixion for hour after hour, actually seeing it as God dealt with it. Mr. George Newsome, our principal at Bible College, told us there was one man there who used to wait on God and pray, usually till well after midnight. And that's really God, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, of God of Jacob. And he says, this man for 3 hours was watching the events of the crucifixion. And he says, the way he told it, how Jesus was on the cross. And he says, they tied his hands up onto the cross to take the weight. He says, but they weren't taking the weight of the body. And the weight of the body was the flesh, he says, the nails were biting into the flesh as the ropes weren't tight enough to take the weight. He says, and they were ripping the flesh open. And he says they went into the minute details of everything about the crucifixion. And there was this ignorant, fairly ignorant, unlearned man being given the vision of God for 3 hours of the events of the crucifixion. He actually watched Jesus being crucified. Isn't it wonderful? You know, friends, there's a whole lot of depth, isn't there, in different ways and visions, isn't there? You know, we can... It's great to have visions of people's needs, but tonight I just want to expand our horizon a little bit. Amen? To see what the Lord wants to tell us. Amen. Praise God. And so, you've got to come into your mind. They come through your spirit. The spirit is the candle of the Lord. God pours the revelation into your mind through your spirit. And this is the thing. How do you know the difference between imagination and a vision? Eh? Now it's a thing we all, no matter how deep our ministry is, have got to say, what is the difference between imagination and vision? Some people can tell stories. I'm rather good at telling stories. My little girl at home, she said, tell me a Wendy story. And when I was down in Dublin the last time, when it was the meeting in the morning for the kids, I told them about the time... I bet you want me to tell it, you never carry on. Make a change, Rosie, make a change. In fact, I might do one of these nights. Yes, why not? You'd all enjoy it, wouldn't you? A New Testament parable, wouldn't you? And there was Wendy with a magic ring. And there came a time when the people in Naughty Land came out to invade Fairyland. Doesn't it sound interesting? Heads shaking vigorous yeses. The great big two-headed giant. Oh, I'm getting carried away! Where was I? I've got lost in Fairyland. But you see, friends, if you've got a strong imagination, you've got to really prayerfully watch it. Amen. And you've really got to make sure that imagination is kept in the right perspective. And another thing too is strong desire. Those two, vivid imagination, strong desire, have really got to be checked. Amen. Now you look at the Apostle Paul, there he was. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. He says, I'm longing for them to be saved. I could wish myself going to hell forever if it would save my people. Now that's an extent of love, isn't it? So what did he do? There he was, he made a vow to go into the temple. But Paul, you told Peter off in Galatians 2 for going and eating with the Jews and acting like a Jew and then with acting like a Gentile with the Gentiles. And there, the very thing he told Paul off, Peter off for, Paul went to, he went and he preached all the Galatians about if you establish, bring out the law again, you lose the point of the gospel. There he was. He was absolutely going into the temple to take part in sacrifices and offerings that had been done away because Jesus had died, just out of expediency, because he felt he could win them. And the Lord had said to me when he came to Jerusalem the first time, he says, they'll listen to me, Lord. He says, they won't receive your witness. Out you go. Out you go, they won't receive your witness. He says, but Lord, he says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. And he always felt that if he could get there, they must listen to him, knowing what a murderer he was of Christians, a persecutor. And when he came there, and his love, his strong desire to bless those people, led him from his charges, which was the Gentile church, to go back to Jerusalem. And in Ephesians 3, is it verse 1, he says, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus for the Gentiles. He says, the Lord has taken me back to the Gentiles in chains, because they left them. And he skipped the church at Ephesus, where he'd been for 3 years, so he could get back and do a vow, and have a Nazarite vow, which he knew had passed away.
and it preached against vigorously in Galatians and Corinthians and Romans. Why? Because he loved. And you know, friends, that's the two things we've got to watch are our strong desires, even loving ones, and our vivid imaginations. Now, having said that, poured a cold water damper on you ever? No. Is it interesting? Good, fair enough. So, there's some safeguards. Amen. The first thing is, I find this, that very often visions can be really contradictory to what you personally feel. You know, there was Peter. There he was. The sheep came down with all the animals in. Why isn't it? No, no, never. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. What God has cleansed, that pull down, not common or unclean. And God had to do it three times because he got a wrong set attitude fixed in his mind. It was a similar attitude to the Protestants, how they feel about the Catholics in Northern Ireland and the Mass. Very, very similar. Gentiles, fuel for the flames of hell. Some of them are said. Not going to get into heaven. And he had to be taught that what God had cleansed, that he wasn't to call common or unclean. And my, it took a threefold repeated vision to do. And that's a very good safeguard. If you get something that is against your own feelings, of course, if you have a vision like that, you don't have to wonder if it's from God or not. It's when they just creep in just gently, and you just see something that's rather vague, and so on. When they come with power, you don't have to worry about it. But it's a strong safeguard if you get something which you feel the presence of God around, and it's against your feelings. And another thing is this, I find that anything important will usually be often an unsought vision. You're there, waking up in the morning, or going about your work, and bang! You look at the thing and you're astonished. Right? It's necessary to get to know things. Now, I think this is why, when with cases like Sister Joan, where on this subject that she had to deal with about this pregnancy and so on, you have got to be sure. So one of the very strong additional things that confirm things is out of the mouths or two of two or three witnesses a thing shall be established. Amen. Now Sister Margaret here had a very important vision last night in the meeting. And she saw a glory on this side of a door and a little golden chain, wasn't it, Margaret? Just stopping the door from being opened, and something on black on the other side, going steps down into darkness. And that night, last night, this gentleman shouted, I just felt that if I were very careful, he would go walk straight out of the meeting. So I used great wisdom in my answer. And I realized that if it hadn't have been for the love that Jesus gave up to me for that man, I could have responded so much differently. But I didn't want to. I didn't even feel I wanted to. But that golden chain of the grace of God stopped him walking out. And I don't think he would have walked again into a meeting. You see, and that was the crisis in that meeting. Sister had been shown the crisis in that meeting for a man who was really been used of God and had walked in the glory. If I'd have said the wrong thing at that moment, it was a slender, and it had to be a golden chain of the love of God and the response of the Spirit. Otherwise, that fellow, I'm sure, would have gone out of that meeting last night and would never, ever again have anything to do with Pentecostals. As it was, he saw some remarkable manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, friends, God can give you a vision. And the thing is, you got that at the start of the meeting, more or less, didn't you, Margaret? During the praise time. And the thing is this, you see, Margaret was given the key. And the whole point is when you get a vision, I suppose you prayed about it, did you, Lord?
I didn't understand it, because that's why I was so long in giving it to you. And it was only when he actually spoke that I realised it was for him, and I
couldn't do that. That's right, yes. But the whole point is, you see, God put the real crisis of that man's soul into her hands by giving a vision she didn't understand. Now, isn't that interesting? You can actually bring deliverance to people by having a vision you don't understand. If you say, well, Lord, I don't know a bit of what this means, but I pray you'll give the answer and meet the need. Amen. Now here is a critical point, and I think you need to remember it in your meetings, and you've got to sort out what is to be given publicly and what is to be prayed for. Otherwise you can get a mass of really giving out of prayer needs if you're not careful. You understand what I mean, don't you? So you can have a lot of things that are for you personally to pray for, rather than needs to be met. And that needs a very high level of discernment. Amen. And seeking of the Lord. Is that okay? Are we learning anything tonight? Not doing so bad considering I've worked so hard today anyway. Oh dear me. I found a few muscles, you know, but haven't been used for a while. The good gentleman next door was a wonderful help, and little Gareth. He was an able little lad, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Right, now I better get back to the sermon. Now what is the thing to realise, or another thing to realise, is that very often you get the best visions in private. The best revelations in the secret place. And I love that little prayer meeting at Lila's house. If there's ever a powerhouse, it's that. I do really, friends. These little women gather together, and they're doing the most tremendous work for God there. Really. And I felt privileged when I went there. And there were these little women, and they get visions about the ministers and the problems. And they're really manifesting the power of God in praying people through. Isn't it wonderful? You see, and not everybody has to have a vision. If the whole body were the eye, well, were the hearing. You see, and this is the wonderful thing, that you've got people who can really pray with power. There's people who God speaks to. And isn't it good to have that? Amen. See, if you don't have any visions, it doesn't mean to say you're not in prayer, warrior. You can be the person that brings the answer because you've got faith. That's what I liked about this fellow that shouted out in the meeting. I said, brother, you remind me of Elijah, a man of rugged spirit and no power. I loved him, even though he shouted. No, and I felt the affection of God for that man. A man of rugged spirit. He wasn't a little bit gentle. I don't know if he was a farmer used to dealing with cows or something, he would, I'm not that sure. But when he shouted at me, he wasn't a really vicious shouting, you know, it was just very loud. And I said, a man of rugged spirit and a power. I thought, gracious me, that's what Elijah was like. Really strong. Really very forthright. And some of you folks who have visions, it's good to know that God may put you alongside a person that's mighty in faith. Amen. So that you may operate together. And I think that's the lovely thing about the fellowship, because I can see this. And the only thing that worries me is that the people who are not having visions feel that they're missing things and they've not got a ministry. That's the thing that worries me. Because you can be other things than the eye that sees. You can pray things into operation. Amen? Is the Lord. So, let's go through a few other tests. Conformity to Scripture. Obviously, revelations will conform to the Word of God. Okay? We could spend 20 minutes on each of these, but I'm not going to do it. Secondly, the spiritual witness and anointing. If a revelation is given, you will find out that there is a witness in other people that it is true, and there is an anointing upon it, and also that probably several other people will have the same kind of revelation. Amen? And that's a very critical thing. then that it's got to be spiritually profitable. Praise the Lord. And will do something good, make God real, then spiritual purity. You know that good revelations come from good hearts. So the lives of persons, it says, you don't have thorns or briars. And then there's another thing about a person that gives a revelation, and this is very important, a spiritual gentleness. Now I've heard some folks get up in churches, not thinking of here, but I have heard them really take the folks to task and thrash them. Well, the revelation may have been true, but it came through the bitterness of their spirit, like Jonah when he went to Nineveh. He gave them a very, very hard time. And believe you me, friends, a spiritual gentleness. Jesus, how often would I have gathered you? When they were about to kill him, he was weeping over them. How often would I gather you, but ye would not? Now, days will come when a city will be destroyed. And he wept, and he wept, and he wept. Gentleness, even though he knew they were going to murder him next week. And that's the thing we've got within a few days. And then there's another thing too, with the gentleness, still a fearlessness and long-suffering. You know the prophets, the long-suffering of the prophets. And then, of course, is the test of fulfilled prediction. But two things that we need to remember about that a person, same as Jonah preaching at Nineveh, when people repent, predictions of judgment will not take place. And secondly, like Israel, predictions of blessing and entering into Canaan did not take place because of sin. But I think we need to work together on this. Now, I've got a few notes here, which I just wrote down before the meeting. And I want to talk just briefly about this. All ministries of the gifts and visions are limited in different ways. Firstly, as we've read in Romans 12, they are limited by the extent of the divine gift to us. Prophesy. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. Recognize what the divine gift is that God has given you. Amen? And don't try to operate beyond it. God has placed limitations. Going back to Numbers, the Lord said, I make myself known to prophets in visions and dreams and dark sayings, but to Moses I speak face to face. Now that is the full extent of vision ministry. When Jesus personally pays you a visit to tell you the thing he wants you to know. Everything that's important. Just imagine that. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Do you know, Branham wouldn't go into a meeting to pray for the sick or to seek visions until the angel of the Lord had come down and talked to him before the service. Baxter thought this was a load of nonsense. He thought, well, I went in there, I don't believe this is true. He's staying in there till the angel comes and talks with him. So he burst into the room just before the service. Guess who he saw then? Didn't he feel embarrassed? Now that's a colossal level, to have an angelic ministry like that. But Moses was one better. He was personally instructed by Christ. And so the thing is, we are limited by the level of the divine gift to us. Amen. And then there's another thing, we are limited by the extent of our sufferings and trials. You say, Brother Bill, is that a real criteria for vision ministry? Yes. If you've had a hard time, you can minister on a different level than other people. And you say, where's the scripture for that? The best one of the lot. We have a high priest who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Or has been tempted in all points like as we are. He is able to suffer and feel our pains. And the high priestly ministry of Jesus is so wonderful because he's been through all the areas of pain and pressure and problems that we endure. And I want to say, if you are seeking for vision ministry, don't say, why am I feeling like this? Or why is this happening to me? Or why is that problem? If you really want to go deep with God in vision ministry or any ministry, you will find that problems come your way just to make you a better channel of the divine mercy and grace. I'm glad that was such a blessing to you, sister. Amen. And the others too. And isn't it wonderful to know that? That though when you feel rough, when you're having difficulties, it's necessary to be in heaviness through manifold temptations. Isn't it wonderful to know that? That you are going exactly the same way as Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, it's limited by the extent of our maturity. Linked with the other thing. You know, as you go through life, you can't grow up immediately. And sometimes young converts, same as me, praying 6, 8, 10 hours a day as a young Christian, seeking the Lord tremendously like that. I say, God, give me visions of heaven. Lord, send an angel to me. And the Lord, if he just said, this fella's asking for a ton of dynamite, and he hasn't learned how to light matches yet. And if he'd have given it to me, then it would have blown me sky high. Because I couldn't take it. Couldn't take it. And you've got to develop a certain level of maturity and growth in God before God can give you the deep things of the Spirit. And then, it's limited by the forgiveness and long-suffering of God. You see, in the realm, friends, of the revelation of people's needs, take, for example, David. David committed a tremendous sin. And yet it was 9 months before Nathan the prophet, who usually got things immediately, God allowed him to know what was happening and the pressures and the problems, because God himself was personally in charge of the problem. And he would not tell it to anybody. Now, I find this, for example, with quite a lot of people. They trust me so much, the Lord says to me, they say to the Lord, Lord, please tell Bill about my problem. And some of the problems are really intimate moral problems. But they allow the Lord to tell these things to me. And because they want me to minister to them, God will tell me. But on other occasions, the Almighty will not tell me things because he is personally dealing with things. And this is the thing, very often in Christian gatherings, we are limited in getting things because God is personally dealing with problems in people's lives, because it is his prerogative first to deal with them. You understand what I mean, don't you? And that's a very important thing to realise. When Nathan came along to David, about nine months afterwards, he murdered Uriah, and committed immorality, thou art the man. God gave him 9 months. And you know, it's wonderful to know this, that God won't come along telling everybody's problems and needs. He limits that area, because that's the area of his atonement, and his cross, and his blood, and his ministrations of mercy. And he will not allow, very often, us to deal on that level, because that is his prerogative, being the divine, forgiving Lord. Amen? That is the thing we need to know. And then, it is limited by the extent of our compassion and love. You know, love is the criteria of spirituality, not revelation. I'll just say that once more. Love is the criteria by which we draw spirituality, not the gifts of revelation. Amen? I may have prophesy. He says, I may have gifts to faith to move mountains, but how is my compassion for people? Amen. How is my love for folks? We've got a nice visitor walk in. Can you feel that? Praise God. That's the love of Christ being poured out upon us now. Thank you, Jesus. And isn't it wonderful, friends? You know, the depth of our affection from one another. And in 1 Corinthians 13, you see, love believes. Has faith that God will change things, all people. When there's no grounds for faith, love hopes. And when there's no grounds for hope, love endures. Amen. The colossal, and that's what God does with us. The divine compassion of our Lord. Amen. So, just to finish off then, there's three different levels of vision ministry, each capable of colossal variety in depth. Word of wisdom, divine direction. Only hear a word of warning. God won't keep telling you what other Christians should do. If somebody comes along to you and said, sister, you should do this, or brother, you should do that, and God hasn't told you, then you've really got to question the revelation. Whoever it is that gives you, because God will nearly always tell you. If he sends two people along to you, or three people along to you, then you've got to think, have I got blinkers on? Or am I deaf in both ears? Same as Paul when he was going to Jerusalem. They prophesied that he should not set foot in Jerusalem by the Spirit. That was the exact words in the Greek. He got very deaf for them because he still carried on. And they thought, well, Paul should know what he's doing. So in the end they said, the Lord's will be done. They got slightly confused. They thought, well, Paul doesn't think, can't get things wrong. So they said, well, the Lord's will be done. And it wasn't. Every city, the Lord is telling him not to go. But divine direction. Then word of knowledge, information on the natural. Tremendous. Got quite a lot of those. And then discerning of spirits, information on spiritual beings. The activity of evil spirits. And this is very necessary. Particularly when you're praying for people. When you can literally see and hear what a demon is putting into a Christian's mind and life. Very necessary to know what's going on in the spiritual realm. So one gift is given and over entirely to dealing with the revelation of angelic beings and their operation in our meetings. Discerning of spirits. But it's a good thing to know. You don't have to just know the bad ones are there or what they're up to. God can also show you his angels. Amen. I was just talking to one sister downstairs and I saw this lovely arm come round her as she was sitting there. Amen. And I prayed with somebody down there before and I said, can you feel the arm coming round? The person didn't, I don't think felt this nice presence tonight. I said, can you feel that arm round your shoulders? And the lady said, yes, got a regular tender in the meeting. I remember when I was going up to Keele University one day, I had a vision of somebody sitting in the church and I heard clearly everything they were praying to the Lord about the personal problems. Well, most of it anyway. It was very detailed prayer. And then as I was going up the road, I saw the arm of the Lord come round the person as they were praying. So when I got into the meeting, I says, my oh my, that was a great prayer you prayed. And wasn't it wonderful to feel that arm come round your shoulders? And it was true, it had happened. Isn't it good to know that we've got angels around us who are as committed to us as Jesus? Holy angels, dedicated angels. And the way they suffer to come to minister to us. They go through the powers of darkness, they get attacked, they get viciously treated by them. And they break through by praise and worship. The little Chinese children, and if you know this, when they saw angels attacked by demons and angelic powers, that's what they did. They put their arms up and praised God. And as they continued with their arms up, praising God and worshipping God, the demon, all of a sudden, the blast of divine glory would come down and dissipate them. They do have to suffer to minister to us. Raising arms isn't such a bad thing, isn't it? Amen? Raise your arms. Amen? You've got some arms in both ways. But how wonderful, the most wonderful vision of all that we can have is discerning of spirits. You say, fancy that, Bill? Oh, yes, I mean it. The visions of the throne of God and of the Saviour. So if you're praying, Lord, give me visions, well, why not pray as the Lord Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. If you abide in me, if you love one another, he says, I will manifest myself unto you. Make myself known to you in a tangible way. So if you're seeking visions, go for the best one of the lot. The vision that the prophets had of the throne of God, of the glory of the Saviour, and see and seek his glory and name. Amen. Well, I hope I've expanded your vision a little bit. Well, I'm awfully sorry. Stopped. I didn't realise how long I've been going on. What is the time?